Hello and welcome. I am so excited today. I'm giddy with delight because I have with me someone that is so special in my life. She's one of my favorite people in the whole entire multiverse. And she is one of my best friends, and I love her so much. Her name is Elizabeth Harper. She's a color intuitive, a psychic, a teacher, a mentor, an earth angel. She was my first and kind of only psychic development teacher. I went to a few of her workshops in Omega, the Omega Institute, and I believe she has one coming up too, so I highly recommend you go to one of her play shops, her intuition play shops in Omega. And she changed my life, and I'm so lucky that she's now a big part of my life, like, all the time. And anyone who's ever had a workshop with her or had any experience with her knows how magical she is. She's a fairy. She's like my fairy godmother. And her website is sealedwithlove.com, and that describes her perfectly because everything she does and says and is sealed with love. So we welcome you, Elizabeth Harper.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm so glad to be here. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's funny. When you were saying my website sealed with love, it reminded me that I, you know, my first book, Wishing, How to Fulfill mm-hmm. Your Heart's Desires, I came up with this title of Sealed with a Wish, and I was looking for the URL for Sealed with a Wish, and it was taken. And this was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I got that URL in 2002 and built a website then, and that's when I came up with Sealed with Love. And then I realized that Sealed with Love, just like you said, is everything that I do.
You're so much more than sealed with the wish.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was perfect.
Well, that's just the thing.
We think something's not going to work, don't we? And then it turns out that we don't see the bigger picture. So it turns out that it's perfect.
It is, and people get so upset about the closed doors. You know, I went through that with my website, too. I was trying to think of all the cool names, like about divining and divinity and insight, whatever. And I was like, oh, I'll just use carriesamuels.com until I've come up with something. And now I'm glad, first of all, that I have that site. Right after I bought it, someone actually tried to get it from me. This is kind of a weird story. It was a memorial site for someone who lived in Pittsburgh. I was living in Pittsburgh at the time, for someone whose name wasn't even Carrie. It was like a nickname of hers. And could you imagine if every time someone searched for me, they would think I'm no longer on the planet?
Wow.
So, and it was like literally like 2 weeks after I purchased carriesamuels.com. So, you know, the universe also has, they always better plans for us than what we're realizing. And I look back at the things I was so upset about not getting or not having or not achieving.
Right.
And I'm like, thank you, spirit guides.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You did me a solid up top. So, what do you consider yourself? I never know what to call myself because, like you, you're a master of many, actually.
I have a challenge with that, you know, because it's a label. It's a label, and it's just, you know, it's like, what's my identity today? So if you're a facet if you're a diamond and you're just one facet of that diamond, then that one facet might be, you know, clairvoyant, and then another mm-hmm. facet might be a healer, another facet might be an artist. It's a challenge to me that we have to identify ourselves so other people know who we are, really.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm always changing. I'm always changing that name, you know, of who I am. And I'm at the moment, I'm a psychic medium.
So much more, though. You do so, 'cause, like, you know, we're about being co-creators, right? So that means being creative.
Right.
'Cause you're an artist.
Right.
Elizabeth, if anyone has seen any of my YouTube videos, I'm most currently wearing Elizabeth's jewelry.
Yes, I love jewelry.
You make scarves. You're color intuitive, so you see colors in people's aura. You are a healer, an energy healer, and you're a teacher. You are a psychic medium. So I think it's funny when, because the creator is not like, oh, I'm going to call myself, you know, a healer, whatever. Like we're co-creators, so that means we're multifaceted. So I love that about you. We refuse to be branded.
I know, I can't. I'm too fluid. I can't. Oh, it's changing. Organic, as someone described what I do recently. Everything I do is organic because it is movable. It shifts and changes and grows and expands, and it's like the universe. It breathes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In and out, and it's the same thing. And I think it's good that we're not, that I'm not labeling myself, but I know it's confusing for people at this time. But I think that just saying that I'm spirit or that I am energy or that I'm light, it's a little meaningless for people. But that's essentially, you know, who we are. That's how we identify ourselves. We're light. We're just light. We're love. And yet we need to have some kind of label, right? So that people know that, you know, you are the person that they need to work with or connect with or train with or just receive healing with as well. So, yeah, we need a label of some kind, don't we? But certainly I'm a chameleon. I should change that. And I enjoy that as well because, you know, one, like at the moment, my focus is on being a psychic medium. It's on connecting more with my guides and angels, with loved ones in spirit, with that vibration. But also, of course, yes, I'm an artist, and that energy comes into my artwork as well. And it's kind of interesting to me that, you know, when I look around my room, I was thinking about this today, when I was looking around my room, it really is like a fairy grotto. I've got around 60 or 70 images, paintings of angels all around me.
Wow.
And my spirit guides, I paint my spirit guides, and I have all kinds of different writings here and different images. And, you know, when I was a child, when I was 16 years old, I suddenly realized I wanted to be an artist, and it was too late. At 16, it was too late. I mean, this is, you know, over 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I tried to move into that world of being an artist, and it always seemed to be, there always seemed to be a block there. It never seemed to happen for me. But then when I delved deeper into my clairvoyance, into my psychic work, I started to draw people's energy fields.
Mm.
I started to draw their auras, and then that moved into drawing their earth angel energy. And then that moved into drawing more of the guide vibration coming in. So it's almost like my vision kept expanding and my artwork kept expanding with this. Until suddenly, here I am, I'm an artist. I didn't go to art school. I didn't need to go on that path. So that wasn't, maybe going to art school, it may have shifted and changed what my perception was, or maybe it just, you know, wasn't the right path. So it's interesting how I've come back round to that beginning where we started you got this path, this is the way you needed to go, this is the direction you needed to take, and it wasn't necessarily the path that you had an idea of moving along. So I wanted to be an artist, but the universe had other ideas. The universe obviously decided, or my soul decided on some level, that I needed to go in this particular direction and then emerge as an artist through some kind of, again, an organic process. So I'm thrilled that I have this connection with art now, which is not, it's almost like it's outside of the lines. So I don't have a process. I just go. It's a very intuitive connection, and I trust my guides when I'm working, especially when I'm working on silk. You know, I paint people's energy on silk, and it's a very, people have to trust me, and I trust my guides when I'm doing this, because they are working with and through me. You know, at the beginning, you were working with your pendulum, and I work with my pendulum when I'm connecting with the colors of people that I've never seen. I'm just connecting with their energy, and I use my pendulum to douse the colors, and then I trust spirit, the guides, the angels coming through me to guide my hands as I paint that silk. So, you know, again, it's like I've moved in this direction from childhood where I wanted to be, and now I'm here, I've landed. It's not how I would have envisioned it.
No.
Yeah.
Did anyone grow up and say, well, maybe you did because you had an interesting childhood. Does anyone really grow up and say, I'm going to be a psychic when I grow up, a professional psychic? Like, no. Or maybe you did. You had a different kind of childhood. You grew up with kind of psychic-y kind of parents, right?
I did. But, you know, in the 60s, and 70s, it wasn't a career choice. You know, certainly in England, there were little old ladies that were psychics. But no, it wasn't really a profession. You know, so when I was 17, 18, and I needed to start focusing on a career, I was, you know, I gravitated towards the medical profession, and that was because of my mother. Because she was, you know, her and her friends thought that it might be a good idea if I went into the medical profession because I was a healer. She knew I was a healer. Mm-hmm. And there didn't seem to be another outlet for that. So I went into nursing. I trained as a nurse, but it never felt quite right.
I can't picture it, actually.
It was really interesting. And it was, what I did was I would give healing to my patients. I'd teach the nurses and the doctors about energy. I'd teach them all these different things, and you know, about reflexology, because I was raised with that as well, about astrology and numerology, and I read tarot cards when I was a child, and of course I saw energies everywhere. You could tell what was, not necessarily what was wrong with someone, because they'd have so many different things going on, but certainly you could see the energy. I could see the energy of people, of the nurses, of the doctors, of the patients, of the family when they came in to the hospital as well. You know, seeing and sensing and feeling all this energy all at the same time. It was a little bit overwhelming, I have to say. And what happens is when you're a healer, when you're a psychic, and you're in that environment where there's a lot of pain, you tend to shut it down, and I put this boundary around myself so that I didn't have to feel so much, because often with your psychic energy, with your intuitive energy, your feeling moves through your feelings, doesn't it? You're so emotional, and you just couldn't be emotional in that setting. So when I left that nursing career, I was so surprised. I was watching something on the television about the hospital that I'd worked at, and I was in floods of tears watching this program about some children that were in the hospital. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, you know, I couldn't have survived in that profession if I was going to be this emotional. So I realized, it was only then that I'd realized that I'd put this boundary around myself. And I think that happens for a lot of people. You know, they create a boundary. They create something to protect themselves so that they don't feel, so that they don't have to experience that emotion, the emotions, you know, that that can be painful. But I think that as intuitives, as psychics, we release those boundaries. We let go of those boundaries so that we can feel that. We can feel more. We can sense more. So it helps us, I suppose, to go what might be considered as higher like a higher vibration, a higher frequency. But, you know, every day I cry when someone sends me a lovely comment, it makes me cry.
Yeah, you've cried with me, Vin. You're so cute. You're like, I'm going to cry. I love that about you.
Okay, I just, you know, I'm always in tears, and I think that, you know, it's because I'm so in touch with that psychic, intuitive vibration, that energy. It really moves through the emotions. It touches the heart, you know. So people often, they feel that that is something that's odd for them, you know, that they're in tears. But I feel that that is, that's so connected to the truth of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's their soul, their spirit. It's just, for me, it's an indicator of truth as well, when I feel emotional.
Oh, I get angel bumps for truth.
Yeah, angel bumps or flashes of light or, you know, or tickles and tingles around my head or making me shake or tears and all of the above.
Well, wouldn't you say that boundaries are one of the most tricky topics for empaths and psychics and sensitive, because you need to have healthy boundaries, but then boundaries that block you off from other people and your own sensitivity and receptivity then becomes very isolating. So we have all this emotional intelligence and we have all these feelers that are designed to be extra sensitive. And then somehow, now for me and many people I know, we were told we're too sensitive.
Right.
And that became a source of shame.
Yeah.
And that's when we create the boundaries, and it's isolating. And then we're like, why am I still, you know, I know I'm meant to connect with people, but I feel isolated and lonely then. Right. Or I feel cut off from my own intuition. Now I'm just going to think about everything and second guess everything and look for something outside of myself. So this topic of boundaries, so in that case, you're saying it was a healthy boundary, but it didn't serve its purpose outside of the hospital. That's right.
It actually, you know, it blocked me off emotionally in relationships as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's the isolating part of it. Because you're like, oh, okay, I'm too sensitive or I feel too much. Well, okay, this can't work now, so I'm going to cut myself off. So do you think people know they, like, because I know a lot of times, and this is something very much on me and the archangels have been trying to help myself and other people, like you were saying, become a more higher vibration, because you want to be the strongest energy in the room and you want that to be a high vibration instead of a vibration that's afraid of everybody around you, right?
Yeah.
Or blocked off from everybody around you. So how do you recommend to do that?
Well,
$1 million question, Elizabeth.
I know. One of the things I do personally is I stay open, but if I'm in a situation where I can feel, because I'm using my feelings all the time, if I feel like I need to protect myself, then I ask for light to come in. I always put light through my energy field, through my physical, mental, emotional, spiritual self. I imagine light all around me. Mm-hmm. When I wake up in the middle of the night and there's energy around me that has come in and doesn't feel safe, then I always ask for the light to come in, and it comes in immediately. You know, just thinking about it, you don't have to get all your chakras sorted out and then bring in the light. Just think light. And that light is there, whatever you think is. So if you think light, the light is there. So you put yourself into a bubble of light. I think it's also important to be grounded as well, because when you're grounded, you feel safe because you're in this present moment and you've got your feet on the ground. Imagine what it's like if you're suddenly floating up. You might not feel safe. So if you've got your feet on the ground, then you feel safe. So that grounding is like imagining you're a tree and having roots going from your feet or from the base of your spine or from the core of your being. right down into the center of the earth. And I always imagine that there's a goddess at the center of the earth, and I call her Gaia. And I imagine hugging her.
Aww.
And then bringing that energy up into my roots and just feeling that vibration of the earth. And, you know, as I'm saying that now, I can feel it. So I can feel myself around.
Of course, where
it.
Intention goes, energy flows. So
that's
you're thinking
it.
About it, and as you think about it, you bring up an image of it, and that's where your
it.
Intention goes.
You
know,
that
it's so
helped me. That helped me to protect myself. But, you know, there was an instance one time when I was at a concert and I was watching this person on the stage do this particular, it was like a dance, but there was something about it that didn't feel safe. There was energy that was coming from this dance that felt a little bit confrontational in some way. So I asked my guides. I asked them to protect me. I didn't just ask for the light. I didn't just ground myself. I also asked for my guides to protect me. Now, here's the thing. I expected to have guide energy come around me and protect me. But what happened instead was that somebody came and stood up in front of me. Somebody came and stood behind me.
What?
But came and stood to my left, and then my husband came and stood next to me on my right. And I was surrounded.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
I know.
You know,
so
I have a guide that, to me, looks like Mr. T. But anyway, that's that show from, like, a million years ago. But I never even watched that show. But, like, to me, that's just as
the
same. Mr.
That.
T,
that's
come around.
Guy.
That is amazing. So can you explain, and what's funny is every time I'm thinking I want you to explain something, you explain it. I love that you're psychic because I'm like, I don't need to say anything. People might be, Carrie's remarkably quiet for her, for her typical self, because I'm like, I'll think something. I'm like, oh, why don't you ask Elizabeth to talk about X, Y, and Z? And then you're like, and then X, Y, and Z. I'm like, how does this happen? This is so funny. I love that you're my psychic friend, the Psychic Friends Network. Can you explain what the difference is between the guide energy and the light energy, and how, what, because to me personally, I always ask my guides to do this for me, or the angels or archangels. I actually, oddly enough, don't, like, I work with light and white light and visualize with that, but when I'm asking, I always ask my guides and angels. So what's the difference for you, and why would you do one and not the other at one point in time, or can you share that?
When you're asking for the light, you mean, is that what you mean for protection?
When you're asking for the light as a sentient energy, but instead, like, why you wouldn't, so you go straight to the light. Like, I ask my guides to be an intermediary all the time.
I go straight to the light. You know, it's funny because there were so many books out there, so much information on the internet. There are a multitude of teachers, and I always think that all of this, everything, it's like a buffet, it's a psychic buffet, and we just choose what tastes right, what feels right, what's going to feed us right now, and then your choices might change, you know, so then you try something else on the buffet. And I've been reading a lot about this idea that especially with the angels, that there's this hierarchy of angels, you know, the celestial, and there's all this hierarchy moving up towards the divine, mm-hmm. to the divine consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this, and it's always felt a little bit off to me.
Yeah, me too.
Thing with hierarchy, it always felt a little bit Victorian. But, yeah, because,
so
you know,
the English woman.
The English, very English, isn't it? And even though it came from, it's historical, it's a historical thing, I feel that maybe this is what people needed. They needed that idea that there was always an intermediary, that there was always somebody. It's a little bit like you know, with having a church and having a reverend or a father or a rabbi, that
mm-hmm.
is someone that is helping you as an intermediary between you and the divine. We don't need that anymore. We can have that direct connection to source. We can have that direct connection to the light. And our guides and angels, they are part of that light. And they're supporting and helping us connect to that light, to connect to the source, connect to God. You know, if you want to call this energy God, I tend not to call the energy God because I think of that as a masculine vibration. And then
mm-hmm.
there's the goddess that is the feminine vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that the divine is both of those vibrations together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not male and female. I feel that there's male and female that's part of it because it's creation and the creator. But I never seem to say God. I always say the divine or the great spirit or whatever.
Yeah. I say God sometimes. Mostly I say the creator, because it has a less masculine image. I tend to say the divine, and you and I in our prayers, and I got this from you. The prayer that I use a lot of it comes from Elizabeth because it was so perfect. I embodied a lot of it myself and changed it throughout the years, but we refer to Great Spirit when we say our prayer, our invocation prayer, and that to me, you know, in my house, we refer to Great Spirit and Great Mystery as the divine creator and emanation of that. So there's it's a buffet, whatever. We're talking about the same consciousness and power when we refer to that. But the intermediary thing, it's, to me, I do connect, obviously, any psychic, intuitive, we're connecting with the divine ourselves, and that's something you and I are passionate about, teaching other people, is that you are a conduit for the divine. When I talk about the intermediary, it's like you connecting with my spirit guides and angels. That's not in replacement.
No.
However, I do tend to connect more when I'm asking for something. It's because they're like my besties. You know what I'm saying? And you talk about the hierarchy. And the thing is, I was more connected to my spirit guides before I started channeling the angels and the archangels. However, I don't see one as above the other.
No.
They're different. They're different energies, and I'll call upon, to me, sometimes the spirit guides, because they're more about the earth walk.
Yeah.
And I am so much about the practical things of the planet Earth. I connect mostly with my spirit guides. To me, archangels are the more broad energies of healing and protection. Can you talk about how that is for you and how you see it and experience and feel and work with it? Because it's so important to get this clarity, because I think there's some confusion out there about it.
You know, I was talking about this a little while ago on my webinar about we have this team, we have this spirit team. And I believe it's like, if you've ever seen Star Trek, you know, on Star Trek, Captain Kirk, this is the old Star Trek, Captain Kirk, he always beams down to a planet with his team.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't go by himself. He's always got a team, you know, with Dr. Spock and various other people, because they all have different qualities. They all have different abilities.
Mm-hmm.
They all have different gifts that they can bring to whatever it is that Captain Kirk needs, you know, at the time. And that's the same for us. We beam down to Earth. We're here. We're
we certainly do. What are we doing here on this strange planet?
That's right. We're beaming
beam me up.
Our bodies. And we have this team. We bring this team with us. You know, we've got our guides. We've got our angels. We have access to the archangels as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've got access to an enormous amount of knowledge and support. But I feel that there's a particular number of team members that are with us throughout our lifetime. And some of those team members are with us through every lifetime as well. So they are here helping us to work through our life purpose, to work through our karma, let's say, to move through the experiences that we've planned out for ourselves, that we wanted to experience, things we wanted to experience. And they're helping us, they're guiding us, they're supporting us every step of the way. And I feel that the guides are very much, as you say, they're linked in with that physical energy. I feel them very close to me, you know, that physical body vibration when they come in. My angels, it's almost like a cloud when the angelic vibration comes in for me, because I can feel them, I can sense them. They take me up to this level that they're at, and it's a golden energy. I love it. This
I love
beautiful
it too.
Golden energy. And then when I see the archangels and I see that energy, they are so big, so huge. It's almost like they're outside of my vision. Because and even now as I'm talking about it, I can feel it, and it almost feels, you know, when you go on a roller coaster and you're going up and down, I'm getting that feeling through my solar plexus as I'm talking about the archangels. Because they're so big, it's you get swamped by their vibration. But at the same time, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. It's not scary or anything. They're big,
no.
But it's not scary. And you have access to that energy. And, you know, it was interesting to me asking about the guardian angel when I asked my guides, my angels, about the guardian angel. When I did this webinar a little while ago, I was told by my guides and angels that the guardian angel wanted to come in, that the guardian angel needed to be there, that everyone needed to connect with their guardian angel. And I'm feeling, I'm seeing, I'm sensing that this guardian angel is coming in more and more and more. And I had this realization just a few days ago about what the guardian angel is. And there was a very strong sense that the guardian angel is you, is a part of you, is a part of your energy. It's a being of light that has never incarnated, but has always, always been with you throughout every lifetime, past, present, and future, because they're part of you. And it's your piece that hasn't incarnated, that has never incarnated on a physical level, but it's called a guardian angel.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah, I know. It blew my mind as well. And it's kind of, this is what comes from my that connection with my guides and angels. I get information that is not necessarily out there.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
I'm,
amazing.
I know. So I'm receiving this information thinking, wow, how is that? That makes sense to me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it blows my mind because it actually makes sense and it answers the question about, like, how can it be with you always? And it
yeah.
just makes perfect sense, too.
It does make perfect sense, doesn't it?
It makes perfect sense, like, because there's parts of us, even as a soul, who, like, in Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls, he talks about how, like, maybe 35% of you will incarnate into a physical body, and the rest of you stays on the other side. So it would make sense that the guardian angels, that part of you, that is so connected to Source, right?
Yeah.
Source, another name for the creator.
That's it.
back to the buffet. There's that part of you, and it makes perfect sense because in the Seth books, they mention how our oversouls, they talk about the oversouls and our spirit
right.
guides as being that part of ourselves. So why wouldn't it make sense that the guardian angel is that pure part of ourselves?
That's right.
Makes perfect sense.
And
I love that so much.
I love that. I love that too. And I had this image of the guardian angel with, you know, like the book of knowledge of your life. So that's why they hold your life purpose. And then I realized there was an enormous connection with Archangel Michael, because that's what Archangel Michael is, right? That guardian, mm-hmm. that protector, mm-hmm. and life purpose. It's connected with the life purpose because, you know, when you think about it, it's like, well, why would a guardian also be connected with the life purpose? And this makes much more sense to me now, because that guardian is with you throughout every life. It's in their better interest.
Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense. Yeah. And in terms of the life purpose, too, in the guardian thing, what I've come to understand, too, is that it's back to the boundaries thing, that Archangel Michael helps us create a protection against negativity through love, and that big, gigantic power that you were talking about, and that radiant life force. And when we emanate love like that, instead of shrinking from the world, that also helps us manifest our purpose. So there's so much of that. And see, and that's what the angels are. And to me, the guides are the ones that help us with those day-to-day choices and those day-to-day actions with our life purpose. It's a team. It's like, you know,
it's
Captain
total team.
Kirk and
that's
Dr.
Exactly
Spock,
it.
Or they don't
that's
just
it.
Do
you're
one.
You're beaming down with your team.
So I have so many more questions for you and so much more to talk to you about. You've created a webinar and a course all about spirit guides. You've created already so much information about this. And so everyone who's listening, Elizabeth has agreed to open up her webinar. What is your webinar called, Elizabeth?
Three Things Your Spirit Team Want You to Know.
Yeah, I bet it's more than three things, though. So.
Oh, it's just more than three things.
Three things and then some, back to the buffet.
About
your spirit guides. She teaches this incredible webinar about connecting with your spirit team and energy and managing energy and how your spirit team can help you with every aspect of life. It's a really deep and beautiful and uplifting and inspiring webinar, and she's agreed to open it up to the CarrieSamuels.com community. Now that my website is CarrieSamuels.com, what else was I going to call it, right? To this community. And so thank you for that generous offer, because I know that webinar happened earlier in June and it's come and gone. And so thank you for giving us an opportunity to hear it.
You're so welcome. And you love sharing.
Yes.
All of this, you know, and both of our guides and angels are guiding us and supporting us and leading us in the direction, you know, we have chosen to go in. And so anyone that is gravitating, that is being led to connect with that webinar, you know, it's not just you, it's you and your team that are guiding you there for sure.
Yeah, and the other thing is, the webinar is full and complete and beautiful, and you'll learn so much. Elizabeth's also created a course that in that webinar, there's an early bird price that's no longer available on her website, and so it's going to be available to just our webinar participants here in this community. So either one or both of those things are wonderful resources. Elizabeth, she's influenced me so much in this realm and has been such a positive influence on me. And maybe if I never took that course with Elizabeth, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't have even had the courage to do what I'm doing now. So it was pivotal in my professional life because it gave me the confidence to be a reader. I actually went to Elizabeth's workshop. At the time, I was doing professional readings already, and I hadn't had any training, and I was using tarot cards. And I wanted the experience of connecting with my spirit guides without cards. Now, I love oracle cards and tarot cards, but I just wanted to be more comfortable. And after that workshop with you at Omega, that's what happened. I let go of the cards and started direct dialing with my spirit guide. So I am a living testimonial of how wonderful she is with her connection with her guides and her teaching, and I just love you, Elizabeth, so much. And I know everyone who's ever had contact with you loves you because you are an emanation of love and you're sealed with love. So thank you for that.
That makes me want to cry now.
Of course.
We've come full circle.
So please, I encourage you to listen to that webinar, to sign up for that, and everything beautiful Elizabeth has to offer. Check out her website at sealedwithlove.com. I'm also going to be including a link to her webinar that I encourage you to explore and enjoy. And thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Yeah.
I feel all that love energy, and, you know, I've got all my guides and angels all around me right now. It feels like I'm being tickled on my back. They're massaging me.
Well, we both send you so much love. Thank you so much for listening, and lots of love, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye.